Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
So we're talking about positive, we've been talking about a positive media day. The impact, of course, that the media has on our mental health is tremendous, both positive, of course, and negative. And as we've gone through this COVID, the COVID times, it is very clear that many of us and many of those around us have become much more vulnerable from an emotional and mental standpoint. We're talking about mental crises. We're talking about greater incidence of very, very negative events. But maybe the focus needs to change. And maybe instead of looking at it only in as a crisis, that we need to shift and start talking about positive mental health. Joining us this morning is Rabbi Yoni Hamilton and Esti Hamilton. Rabbi Yoni Hamilton, the mental health expert, former director of Relief UK, and Esti Hamilton, international motivational speaker, a Torah teacher, and a spiritual mentor. Good morning to you both. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Howard. Thank you so much for having us on this morning.
So a great pleasure indeed. And you, in fact, are going to be coming to South Africa shortly. But are you finding that there's a similar trend throughout the world with almost a bit of a fixation on our own mental health? It feels like we're taking our emotional temperatures three or four times a day.
Yes, it's unbelievable how mental health really has become on the public agenda. I mean, everyone is talking about mental health. It's the number one conversation at the moment. And I think the reason why it's important for us to have this conversation about mental health, well, first of all, maybe let's define, Howard, what mental health really is, just for the purpose of our conversation.
Sure.
A broad definition of mental health, one could say, really is just a person's conditions with regards to their psychological and emotional well-being.
Okay.
And mental health really is just so important to have as a conversation because people struggle with it and loved ones, family members just don't really know at all how much people are suffering. And I think it removes a lot of the stigma behind mental health to have a conversation about it and to put it out there.
Absolutely. And I think that mental health is essential for positive physical functioning. So for people who are suffering from social anxiety or depression or trauma, they may have trouble having relationships, holding down a job, even trouble sleeping or eating. And this is a very basic human function. So when we say we must have a conversation about mental health, and everybody says we're talking about it too much, for people who are suffering, and even in a minor way, that means they don't have to be hospitalized or
right,
on medication.
Right.
Suffering enough that their very basic human functioning, like sleeping, eating, holding down a job, is hampered by their lack of mental health. Absolutely.
Are we not in danger, though, of ruminating, really, and just going over this? You know, we had an incident at home, and we were talking Friday night before we sat down to dinner, and one of our kids was really going through something that was quite heavy. And after about 45 minutes of discussion, I said, you know, we need to have this conversation, but it needs to end as well. And by the time we get up and go to dinner, I actually would like to talk about something a little bit different, lighter, and let's leave that conversation in the living room where it happened, because maybe because I just couldn't anymore. But the reality is that there's a place for it. And when it becomes too much, had I not done that conversation and that focus would have dominated every aspect of our evening. So shouldn't we
I think that's once somebody feels heard and validated, they no longer have to talk about it so much. What do you think, Yoni? Perhaps
right.
Like the reason why everyone's talking about it is because they feel nobody's listening. Nobody realizes that I really can't sleep from my trauma. If I talk about it more and more, maybe somebody will listen.
Okay, that's interesting.
That's why it's so important to have this, to talk about mental health, because we as mentally healthy human beings don't understand how much people are suffering. So someone speaks about it and talks about it because they really want to be just heard.
Right.
And probably validating it for those 45 minutes made them able to sit at the Shabbat dinner In a calm way, rather than
It actually, interestingly, did work very, very positively. I was actually quite surprised at it myself, but it actually did work. It actually was a way of doing it. But so how do we get that balance? And how do we talk about mental health, but not make it the dominant aspect of everything? In other words, sometimes it's good just to do something, go and have fun, and we'll find our mental health actually improves greatly as well.
Yeah, like everything, Howard, there's always a balance, of course, but I think that to raise awareness, especially if there's been a lack of awareness, is really something that we...
So important. And also, my husband was saying to me something before that, when we talk about it, things get done about it. So public funds become available for mental health. People train in the area of mental health, and books are written about mental health. That means when you bring up the topic, it becomes something that people, you know, are willing to put money and time and effort in to resolve. Whereas if we never raise the question, or we hush it up, or we invalidate it, or we make it seem like it's not such a big deal, then we can't then help the people who are suffering.
Have we found that, I know within the Jewish community, and often very much within the religious Jewish community, unfortunately, there's more of a stigma around mental health, because maybe that will affect who you're able to marry, and there's a reputational issue around it. So there's been a tremendous amount of resistance within the religious Jewish community, I would imagine in all communities, but this is just something that I'm aware of, to talk about and to really address issues of mental health. What are you finding in your talks, in some of the work that you guys are doing?
Okay, I agree with you that there is some kind of stigma. But I feel that people are much more open to go to therapists. They might not be so open to talk about it. Mm. I think also, well, in the British culture, we're much less open in general. So American...
Yeah, we can hardly get a greeting out of you guys sometimes.
Right. So American Jews are much easier to say, I have a therapist, and I go to a therapist once a week. Whereas British Jews, culturally, they're much more private.
Right.
So they never say it. But my husband, who runs a clinic, he's booked morning, afternoon, and evening with people who are coming. So it's no longer really a stigma to go to a therapist, but I think it still is a stigma to talk about the fact that you go to a therapist, which it shouldn't be, because mental health is like physical health. We all want to be healthy. But it's interesting that you bring up Jewish religion, because I think that that being religious actually helps people with their mental health.
Part of the beauty of Judaism is that we've got such an emphasis on community. Community and chesed, the infrastructure in our community is very powerful. And this really helps people. One of the biggest challenges with someone who's vulnerable and suffering from mental health is isolation and loneliness and dealing with it on their own. Mm. And as you know, it's in South Africa very much, and then here in England and all across the world, Jewish communities believe and are passionate about helping others and being there. There's no real isolation. I think that our community came out relatively less scathed from COVID, because we have this infrastructure. So that's an important factor.
Yeah. That said, and I'm not sure exactly about how it worked in the UK, but here when we closed shuls, I know our elderly population. I know my father, for example, who couldn't get to shul during that time, declined very, unfortunately passed away during that time. But there was a lot of decline during that time because of that alienation and loneliness. And I think we're still dealing with a lot of that residue. There's quite a bit of interference on the line. Mukundi, is it our side? No. Right. So but are we still dealing with that? Is there still a residue of, or a hangover from the times that people were in lockdown?
Very much so. It had such a ripple effect on the whole world that something like this, Howard, is going to take many years, in my opinion, before we really get ourselves back to where we were before. Humanity in general took a huge blow.
Mm. And I agree with that. Loneliness really does kill, meaning that people who are left alone, they lose the will to live. And so even though I felt our community had already the infrastructure in place to like go shopping for people and leave food outside their door and phone people up to make sure they're okay. We had a whole, I don't know about South Africa, but already here, there were organizations that generally did that for people anyway. So as soon as COVID hit, you know, we had phone calls, oh, this elderly person's alone in their flat. do shopping for them once a week. They would and get their medication from the, you know, they would help them. So we didn't have to find an infrastructure for that. But I agree with you that the pervading loneliness for people, especially elderly or people who are single and on their own for Shabbat meals, for festivals, in general, you know, by themselves, I think they did suffer tremendously because, you know, we need community. We are social beings.
And of course, the positive side of that is that it has become a conversation. And I certainly see it in the workplace where we are much more sensitive to being able to talk about these issues that never really were allowed in the workplace as well.
Oh, that's true. In the workplace, absolutely. I agree. And people also realize that they can work from home more and therefore have a better family life, if you like, because the work became more flexible in terms of not such rigid hours and people could spend more time with their loved ones. And I think that was also a positive outcome, definitely. Yes.
That's unfortunately where we do need to leave it. Rabbi Yoni Hamilton, Esti Hamilton, thank you for taking the time to speak to us. I believe you will be in South Africa through Or Sameach. If anybody wants to find out about accessing those talks, they can just do so.